Renegade Broadcasting, hard-hitting talk radio. Welcome to the Solar Storm. This is your host, Kyle Hunt, coming to you May 14th, 2017. Thank you so much for joining me here at RenegadeBroadcasting.com. Also, check out the sister site, RenegadeTribune.com. There's also RenegadeVids.com and a whole assortment of documentary websites such as BeyondPizzaGate.com, HellstormDocumentary.com, and also WhiteSouthAfrica.com. And since it is Mother's Day, I might also want to promote Sinead's site, HeathenWomen.com. A big thank you to all of the great mothers out there for doing what you do. We couldn't obviously do it without you. Tonight, I will be speaking with a guest. Hopefully, I'll be able to get him on here shortly. Having some issues connecting. And I will introduce him once I know that we'll be able to connect, because I'd like for him to hear the introduction as well. I was on the roundtable last night with Bill and with Sean from California. Please do check out that show. We covered a lot in the first hour concerning the Confederate battle against the SJWs and some of the history behind that, and how it's obviously not as black and white as it's always painted. And we also got into controlled opposition. We touched upon some of the different characters who are very obviously controlled opposition. And then in the second hour, we rolled the dice and discussed some of the questions that came up because of it. All right, it looks like I have been able to connect with my guest via Skype, which we don't usually use, but it is a decent backup. Tonight, I will be speaking with the Veganator. He is a YouTuber who has been putting out some really good content recently. Now, I say recently because over the past month or so, from what I can see, I agree with almost everything that he says. However, if you go back a little bit further, you and I might not agree with some of the things he was discussing. But we'll ask him about his transformation and some of the big topics he's covering now. In particular, the promotion of white Sharia within the alt-right and the blaming of white women for crimes that Jews have committed. What an appropriate topic for Mother's Day here. With no further ado, welcome to the Veganator.
Hey guys, or hey Kyle, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, you're coming through just fine here. Just perfect. A heads up, you won't be hearing the music, so I will tell you when we've got breaks, and I'll mute you during them, and we'll come back, and I'll let you know when we're on air. So, with all of that aside, I'm glad we're able to get connected and discuss these issues. Could you let the audience know just a little bit about yourself Is there a first name that we can use to reference you here tonight besides the Veganator? And a little bit about your history and how you came to be doing the types of videos you're doing now.
Well, my name's Andrew. I have the YouTube channel, The Veganator. I started out as just doing veganism and bodybuilding, health and nutrition, because that's what my major is in for school and my used to work field I used to work at until I got doxxed. And then, once you get doxxed, your information's out there as to when you're really talking the truth on certain matters. People don't like that because it's politically incorrect. And it's a slow, well, it's not really a slow process of becoming red pill, but I like to say Jew pilled because the MGTOW community has pretty much coined the term red pilling. So I like to differentiate it as Jew pilling because a lot of people misconstrue red pill with actually being awakened, but they're only awakened to the reality of the symptoms that are plaguing societies, not to the root causes of the society.
Well,
So I like to go.
yeah, the MGTOW appropriated the red pill, and if you look at who actually came up with it, it was two Jews who were previously brothers, but who are now supposedly sisters, the Wachowski siblings, who both had sex changes. So that's where red pilling comes from, and where does the red pill end up leading you? Well, it's to Zion. So I also don't like the term.
Yeah, so I like to just say like Jew pilling, correct people on that, because everybody knows the problems plaguing our society, but they don't know what's really behind it. So then I just started doing all sorts of crazy videos because I was like, well, the veganism aspect, and I know you're very well at this, it's not very popular out there because people in America or any white European country, they do not want to give up their meat. And see, back then, I used to eat a lot of meat, but when I was a nutritionist, dietitian, I understood that the healthiest diet, because it's all in the textbooks. All, and like I was listening to your podcasts about trans fats and even the juicing thing, all the information and research articles are out there, but they're not promoted because it doesn't keep people sick or make huge amount of profits. Because it also, a lot of people don't correlate this. The nutritional field is in bed with the medical field and vice versa. They make huge amount of profits and incentives by keeping people sick because both, well, you know this, because food is the staple of your health and fitness level. Because without eating properly clean, healthy foods such as organic, GMO-free foods, and even that aspect, people are sitting there. I don't know if you know this, but that Dr. McGregor, I've seen some things that he's a big advocate of GMO foods,
Do
like
you
the
mean
promotion.
McDougal, Dr. McDougal?
Gregor, the
Oh,
nutrition
Gregor.
facts.
That's right. I know that John McDougal thinks it's something of a distraction, but it's not like he's endorsing GMOs. But okay, so you're saying Dr. Gregor is actually promoting GMOs, saying that they're great for us.
He doesn't promote them a lot, but he did one video where he was talking about how the pesticides or herbicides. He wasn't talking about glyphosate. He was talking about something else that was sprayed on organic foods. But like even that video podcast, when this is how I took it, when I broke it down, he wasn't focusing on GMO foods such as like what Monsanto pumps out, like the glyphosate loaded BT corn or these BT crops where they have the pesticides loaded into them. He was talking about like spraying some light, not really heavy duty pesticide on organic foods. And it's like you're off topic from the GMO, but most people will misconstrue that as he's, oh, GMOs are safe. It's like, well, his little thing didn't even discuss anything. Like the majority of his videos, they're really informative and loaded with tons of information that's really good, especially when it comes to the veganism aspect about the health promotions. Like the one thing that I really liked about it was about the cardiovascular system of a vegan that's sedentary is something like 100 times more efficient than a meat eater or Olympic triathlon meat eater, something like that. And it's like, wow, like that is insane. Just because, like, even Carl Lewis, when he was in the Olympics, and, you know, yes, he was on performance enhancing drugs, but still, he was on a vegan diet. And like, that's when I was like, wait, veganism, it's not this whole thing about, oh, you're going to become muscle, you know, lose all your muscle, protein deficient, everything else. When, you know, you think about our ancestors, and on your podcast, you're talking about how it's inefficient for us to be hunters, because to hunt an animal, you're spending so much time and resources following that animal, tracking that animal. And especially back then, we didn't have like guns, efficient arrows and stuff. And, you know, just trying to creep up on an animal, they could smell you from a far distance away, because we, you know, our pheromones, and we have smells to us. So they know when we're around and they get out of the way. The only animals that we would probably eat were the sick, or ones that are getting ready to die, or just luck of the, you know, whatever.
No, let's actually talk more about nutrition in the second hour, because I'd like to get your take on the paleo promotion, which definitely made its way through nationalist circles, and which has also been promoted by Weston A. Price with Sally Fallon, who herself looks very unhealthy and fat these days, but she's saying that eating lots and lots of animal fat is the best thing ever. So we should definitely counter this propaganda. But let's now transition through your process of awakening. When actually did you start looking into veganism? And I'm assuming this was before you really became aware of the Jewish problem and white genocide. Is that correct?
Correct. I'll get back to the subject. So then I just started making these videos, because back then I wasn't really into like interracial dating. So, because I mean, I'd done it before, and you know, we live here in America where interracial dating, or all races are the same and all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. You know how that goes. So I used to race mix back then. And so when I came to the realization that, yes, there's a huge difference between races, and I was becoming race realism, and I made this video titled I Do Not Want to Swirl, Krystlyn Carazin, who is like the queen of interracial dating between black women and white men. So I was like, well, me, since I'm a white male, I might as well just make a video going against this. And this is when I had like 50 subscribers, and she had something like over 25,000. She actually reached out to me, and my video only had 10 views, and she tried to like make a fool out of me, and it backfired on her, and then my channel blew up. And then a lot of people don't know this, but the one girl that I put on my videos to humiliate and stuff, she actually got back on my videos to play along with this whole swirling thing, just to rub it back in her face, the queen of swirling, just as a mind fuck. Am I allowed to cuss on your show?
Yeah, I try to keep it to a minimum, just because sometimes younger audiences are listening, or people are listening around their families. But don't feel like you have to censor yourself too much if you're going with the flow. So you started dealing with some racial issues, going against miscegenation. Did you find out quickly who was behind this promotion? And, you know, and it's everywhere. Every single advertisement, all these movies, TV shows, books, wherever you can think in the media, it's there.
That did not awaken me to the situation, because, like, I don't know why it didn't, but the thing that awoken me up to the reality of the situation was nutrition, and actually this whole aspect about parasites. And we were talking about this earlier, that the autism aspect of rising in all white European countries due to vaccines and bacterial floral gut, because of a lot of people, when they're born, they get C-sections. And when the child passes through the vagina, it actually gets a floral ingestion of the vaginal juices. I know this is weird, but it actually does promote intestinal flora that is lacking in a lot of children. And then on top of that, they're doused with vaccines, because this is the field I used to work in, was neonatal in an intensive care unit. So I know all this process that goes on, and I've seen day in and day out all this stuff of how these babies are like literally just on the brink of death, and a lot of them would die. And it's all because of, you know, vaccines, or not all because of, but it builds up all these factors of different things that is not natural and just detrimental to a baby's health. And this is when they're, you know, at their peak, or not their peak, but at the beginning of their life stages. And these things are detrimental effects that will last for their lifetime. So then from that, I started looking into the whole vaccines aspect. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, they're poisoning us through the vaccines. But I didn't know who they were, because it's always like, you know, the Illuminati, the globalists, the Bilderbergs, all this stuff. But it's the same group of people behind it once I awoke into all this stuff, because there's gatekeepers out there. So then I started looking into nutrition more, and I was a big, you know, I did not want to eat GMO foods. I knew they were bad, but these are all things that started awakening me to the situation, because when I found out what GMOs are, like Monsanto is a Jewish slave owner during the Atlantic slave time in Louisiana. I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting. And like, when you think about Monsanto and GMO crops, it controls everything within our country and the world, and it's just implemented upon us without any choice or information knowledge. And then,
you know what's even worse than all the GMOs is how we can't really trust the organic either, and how that's a big scam. And
yeah,
you know, all of these the labeling and the certifications, it's taxing good practices, good behavior, and it's rewarding bad practices. The way it really should be is that if you're doing things well, if you have healthy products, you should actually get a stipend from the government. You should get some subsidies. And if you're doing something that is not as high quality or is detrimental in some way, I'd say you should be banned entirely. But if that's not the case, at least penalize them so that their harmful products cost a whole lot more than the ones that are good for your people. It's insane. Such a backward system.
And it's kind of funny how you brought that up, because a video I came across on my studies for nutrition, because I was on YouTube is a place where I like to look up a lot of documentaries and stuff. And so I came across this video called The Kosher Conspiracy from the infamous Scott Roberts, and talking about taxes and blessings, the little kosher symbol on all the foods. I was like, you know, when I watched that video, I was like, that's pretty interesting. So I started looking into that, and it started clicking. And, you know, these are all things that start connecting. You got GMO foods, which is pumped out by Jews. You got the kosher symbol literally on every food. And, well, it's Jews. And then you see the medical field industry. And I came across this one video called The Rockefeller Medicine. I don't know if you've seen that one, about how they
I don't know if I've seen that video, but I'm definitely familiar with the promotion of allopathy over homeopathy because of the Rockefellers. And that's where the whole modern medical complex really stems from.
Yep, and like all these things start kicking in. But then I was just like, okay, well, they control all these things, no big deal. But then when this whole thing about white genocide started coming out, and this is the crazy part, your documentary, The Greatest Story Never Told, somebody shared it to me.
I did Hellstorm. Dennis Wise did Adolf Hitler, The Greatest Story Never Told. I actually interviewed him before he finished that, and then also afterwards as well. And that is one of these things where it was really interesting to watch when the first parts were only getting a few thousand views. You started this back in 2012, maybe even started back in 2011. But I know I saw it and I started following it along with the progression in 2012. And it really, really exploded. And that's amazing for a documentary that is that long to be that successful, have so many people watch it from start to finish. So, yeah, you saw that one. It changed you. Did you also catch Hellstorm?
Yeah, I was going to say I watched that one too. I couldn't stomach watching the whole thing, because I was just like – well, when I first watched The Greatest Story Never Told, you know, it's a lot of like the first couple hours, it's just like – this information about a lot of historical things that you never know about. Like, you never hear about, like, the bloodletting of children and the stabbings and all this stuff, the rituals. And then the kosher slaughter in Germany and how Hitler banned all that stuff. And then, well, going to what the slaughter practices today, it's just been like escalated. The same thing that was back then, it's like worse now.
That was the first thing that they pretty much did when they got into power, was they banned vivisection and made sure that their animals had rights. Yeah, of course, yeah. They were really concerned with the people, but it was all animals within the Reich who had a right to dignity. And that actually included Jews, who we know now about how the Holocaust was faked, but even just the treatment of Jews within the Reich. Yeah, it wasn't as good as before when the elite Jews were riding high in the hog, but they weren't persecuted the way that we're told.
No, everything's been lied and twisted, and that's how everything goes. Like, we all know this nowadays, the people that are aware of the situation, and they also or I won't sidetrack, but I'll get back to what I was going to say, because I was going to go off on a tangent.
Oh, we could go off on 6 million tangents here tonight, I'm sure.
Yeah.
but
try to stay on track.
I'll try to steer us on track as well, because we still haven't even talked about the whole women issue, and that's going to be at least a decent focus for us here tonight. So we'll progress to that in due time.
Yeah. So then like I start putting all these things together, and then I start seeing the whole white genocide promotion, and then like you hear about, you know, the demographics are declining in America, but when I start hearing about the white genocide agenda and really looking into the whole aspects of how this is implemented upon all white European countries, the same MO, and it's kind of a coincidence, you know, when you start seeing who is behind all these things, and then it started clicking, and then I was just like, well, and this is like when I was still like messing around with the black chick and this whole swirling thing. But then I told her, like, at December, I'm like, look, I'm going to stop this. I have to come to terms with myself as to what's going on with my situation and my people. And I actually have to take a stand and do something. And I don't care if you hate me, love me, like me, anything else, but I got to do this, and I'm not going to, you know, even play around with this whole swirling aspect anymore.
Have you gotten a lot of resistance from people who think of you as a male mud shark, or have people been pretty accepting?
Well, the thing is I don't give a shit really what other people think. And like, I was going to private message you about this, but I mean, everybody takes things different. Like, I don't let the trolls or people get at me, because I look at it as a distraction. Because, like, with my channel, I could sit there and say, well, I made videos addressing that I no longer swirl and the reasons why I don't swirl. And that one that I made was very serious. Like, back then, you know, it was satire. But the first one wasn't satire, but I did it to get popularity. But then the one that I just did maybe 2 or 3 months ago, that was very serious, because that was when I was like, well, I'm going in the deep end and I'm not coming back. So it's like, going all in. So I went all in, put everything out there, and as I think you might have seen my videos, I don't really hold back on a lot of information or talking points. Now I do add in a humor aspect by...
Okay, so when you are playing the Jewish veganator, that's not serious then, when you've got the Star of David around your neck wearing a blue shirt.
Have you seen my 23andMe video?
Actually, no, but somebody mention that in the comments. They were thinking that you are Jewish. Did you get your results back, and do you have Jewish blood, or was that all a joke?
It's a joke. Like, I got in a lot of my videos, I have Easter eggs in them for you. Like, people who are aware, and even if you read the comments, they'll point out the Easter eggs on that video. And this is just common sense. Kyle, I think you've seen my face before. Does it look like I have 20% African American in me, or with an additional 47% Ashkenazi Jew?
No, it doesn't look like you're part African. But with Jews, if it was just Jewish admixture, it can be masked. Very oftentimes,
yeah,
it is.
But then I put in there my birth date 1/4/88. Yeah. So I was born on January 4th, 88. So people should have picked up on that. But then I did a a mistake and I put Shabbos Goy as, or I put Andrew the, or Andrew quotations Shabbos Goy the veganer. I should have taken out the Shabbos Goy because that means that I'm just a goy. I'm pretending I'm a goy, or you know, but I'm fulfilling the Jewish agenda. So, but I can't change that because the video's uploaded. It's there, but whatever.
Do you actually know your ethnic mixture?
Yeah, well, I know my mom's side and my dad's side, but I haven't taken my DNA test.
I wouldn't. But I would not. Because
I heard about it. It's Jew owned and all that stuff, and it's like a database or a bank of collecting everybody's racial heritage. And I heard about that. Is that what you're going to say?
Oh yes. I mean, there's so much that could be said about it, and how just giving our whole giving over samples willingly, actually paying Jews to take our DNA samples, that's just, in my opinion, the height of stupidity. Think of all the things that they could do with your genetic makeup, how they could weaponize that, how they could sell the information, how they could start to target. You know, there are so many different ways that this could be bad. Heck, you could get cloned. Maybe there's a clone of you out there right now. I'd say not to do it. You should be confident enough in who you are, and if you want to research, go back and do the family tree. I think that's a better idea.
That's what I was going to say, because like my family tree, but my mom already had her DNA test, and she has no African or Jew in her. But my mom's side of the family actually came here before the Mayflower in America. So I made videos addressing my my racial heritage here in America, that my 13th great grandfather was hanged as a witch during the Salem witch trials.
Wow.
Yeah, my family runs, or my mom's side of the family runs really deep in America's history. Yeah.
Actually, my family as well, going back to the earliest of days.
And like, I always love how people state that ridiculous notion that, oh, this is a country of immigrants and all this stuff. It's like, no, white Europeans that came here and built this society, not, you know, Hispanics or Muslims, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, it's such a slap in the face towards our heritage and what our ancestors have done.
And it's also implying that essentially the whites who came here, the Europeans, that we didn't really have it, you know, too hard. We just immigrated to a new country. No, it wasn't that simple. There weren't roads paved. There weren't corner stores. They weren't given a check by some genocidal government.
And like, I made videos about this notion too, and I'm just going to make it quick because instead of getting sidetracked. Like, I talked about this notion too, about the whole bullshit thing about, oh, we genocided the Native Americans because they were, you know, they're just such peace-loving people. No, they were savages. And the other thing too is nobody gives a shit about the Native Americans until it's coming to shame and guilt the white Europeans within this country. Because think about it. What society would you want to live in? A Native American society where you're at constant war, your teeth are falling out, you could probably get scalped, raped any moment, or better yet, you could die because you're out in the nature getting all those diseases. You're living out, you know, and just.
And how does it help the American Indians to have this country flooded?
Yeah.
How does it help them? I think that the European Americans and the American Indians, we should work things out ourselves. You guys can just go back to where you came from. We'll bury the hatchet here. Hey, I wouldn't even mind paying out reparations. Let's take down the casinos because that's just toxic. And let's start to have them have an honest revival of the good things about their culture. They can have pride in their people. We'll have pride in ours, and we'll work it out. Hey, we could even work something out with the blacks too. I think giving them a lot of money to go back to Africa would be a great program. But anyway, we are getting a little bit sidetracked. So let's get back to your evolution. Can we get into MGTOW? This is one of the things that we covered here on the network a while ago. It doesn't seem to be as popular now, but it's one of the reasons that some of the loyal commenters over here have been a little bit skeptical about you. And I understand that completely. I am skeptical about everyone until proven otherwise because, well, we've been burned so many times in this. And the thing is, what you're saying now really makes a lot of sense, but you were kind of in this MGTOW realm for a while. So please tell us about that. I understand there are a lot of legitimate arguments about men's rights, and I'm not a supporter of this Jewish feminism that we see. It's just insane. But it's meant to be, because it's meant to trigger us, it's meant to trigger them, and it's meant to divide men and women. So please, to tell us how you got into this MGTOW movement, and have you left it?
If you watch my channel, I did I'll start from the beginning, because I forgot about the whole MGTOW aspect that I went off of. So yeah, this is the MGTOW part of, or plays off a part of the whole interracial thing of just not caring about women or relationships or just even your own racial heritage. Because see, the talking points in MGTOW focuses on that how men, we get screwed over by the judicial system, and that women have the upper hand in everything. So pretty much it goes along this whole notion of the pump and dump lifestyle, where you could either, or I should say, it's either the pump and dump lifestyle, or you go your own way completely away from society like a monk. And for me, I did not want to do that. So I started playing the whole like sort of pump and dump aspect. But I wasn't like a party animal to where I'm sleeping with so much women every day. But it's just one of those things where I would not really commit to a woman.
No, that's not exactly MGTOW. That's PUA. That's pickup artist. That's manosphere, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Because MGTOW at its ideal, purest form would involve being almost completely isolated from relations with women, what I understand.
Maybe I have it wrong. It's weird because there's
different flavors
different factions,
of MGTOW.
When I followed it, these guys I was with, they weren't like the pickup artist type where you go out there, you go hunt the chick. It was like, to me, I would sort of like get in a relationship, but it wasn't like really serious to the point where like I want to move in with her or commit, or if like she broke it off with me, whatever, fine, I'll just get another one partner and go, just have my thing, but I'm not going to commit, marry, move in, just keep my own place, she could have her place. But yeah, I can see how it's a pickup artist type. But then I started realizing, because this, it all started correlating with the whole white genocide agenda, because in our society, the MGTOW aspect, they'll say, oh, it's not Jewish operated like feminism, which I could say, okay, I agree, but I call it kosher approved, because men are going their own way away from society, doing nothing to stop the things that are being implemented upon us. So I made this video called MGTOW equals the final solution for white men, or for whites. And a lot of people didn't understood the term final solution, which means like, you know, that whole notion of the World War II aspect. So when I made that video, I go pretty hard as to how us as white Europeans, we cannot be MGTOW. We need to be on the aggressive notion of fighting back. And by us, because even when on the MGTOW aspect, think about all the things that are going on towards them. You got feminism that's taking away your rights. You got this judicial system that's fighting against you, and you're just going to do nothing to resist this. You're just going to wait till society crumbles, and then you're thinking that you're going to come back and rebuild it. Like, even that concept, I was like, this is the dumbest thing ever. Like, who is going to come back to any place and rebuild it? Like, go to Detroit. That place has been crumbled and destroyed. Are you going to go back there and rebuild it? No. Like, it's been destroyed and it's overrun by blacks. And that's what's going on with all of our areas. We keep having white flight, and then we go on this notion that, oh, we'll rebuild this area, or we'll build up this area, and then we just give it away or allow it to be taken over, and then we flee again. And it gets annoying seeing all these things, because my family also has ties to Detroit before I forgot what it was, like the mass exodus.
Well, that was because of violent riots.
Yeah, the 1960s riots. And my family came down here. My mom's side of the family came down here and resided here. But like,
it was an amazing, amazing city. Beautiful. And yeah, the center of innovation. Detroit was something really incredible. And then it's basically Haiti all over again.
Yeah, and like I made videos addressing that, and like all these things started accruing in my mind as to, wow, there is this white genocide agenda, and then I just started going deeper and deeper on my notion of Jew-pilling, and then I just started watching more videos. Like the majority of my videos first was from Scott Roberts, since I watched that kosher conspiracy video. And a video that really awakened me to the white genocide aspect on his was this one. It's something like in Germantown, where he was talking about in Florida, and you reside in Florida and so do I. He was talking about how this German community is literally going to be the last of their people within America because of all this diversity, the flooding, and I know you're very well this too, because I see this here in Tampa. Huge amounts of Haitians, Asians, Muslims, and Hispanics, and it's insane. And like I made a couple videos addressing how like people think that Florida or our country isn't overrun, or that the demographics are true representations, that white Europeans are still at 60%. I actually think it's lower.
Oh,
I
yeah.
think it's probably about like 40%, because like everywhere I've been to, I don't see that many.
But have you
I don't
been
see
have you
that.
been to the heartland?
What do you mean the heartland?
I'm talking about Middle America, what the Jewish elite call the flyover country.
No, but I know Florida supposedly has a lot of whites, 'cause or what I heard. But like even around here, like in my old area, I come from Pasco County, and back then it used to be like all whites. Now when I go back there, it's just flooded
Oh
with
yeah.
Hispanics. It's all run down and destroyed. It's and like the white areas are all gated up,
And they're
and
right next to the ghetto too. Very expensive white areas right next to the ghetto. It's crazy. About Germantown. Well, I saw this same thing in Cincinnati over the Rhine. I don't know if you've ever heard of this. I actually visited by there on the 2013 Renegades in America Roadshow documentary. You could check this out. They had this thriving German community, but I think it was after World War I, and then definitely after World War II, they really were censoring the German aspect of it. It's called Over the Rhine, but the street names got changed because of all the anti-German sentiment. The whole place was basically changed due to the hatred of the German people. Now, when you look at it, it's actually completely overrun with blacks. Completely, and there are no more Germans left. It's just the remnants. It's like a lost civilization, when it was once German and beautiful. And now, when we went there to film some of these signs, we had to be pretty much on our guard. Luckily, it was during the daytime, but it was definitely enemy territory in Over the Rhine. And Hitler did mention who brought the Negroes to the Rhineland, just FYI.
And so like on that video too, it started talking about how like what you're talking about, how German heritage and their racial pride and identity is demonized, but it also correlates to all white European identity, because as you see, we are severed from our roots, our heritage, our just our culture of everything. It's being demonized, and I'm actually getting ready to make a video about the Confederacy, about the statues being removed. And it's just so ironic, because all of our statues and representations of us is being torn down, but yet at the White House, you got the symbols of Jewish menorahs and all this stuff. And that just pretty much tells you as to how we have been conquered. Like, this is not our homeland anymore. It's totally controlled by Jews. But no, you can't point, like, most people, when you even point that out as to Christianity, this is a nation of Christians. Well, why isn't there like Christmas trees or Christian symbols on the White House?
They're
But it's,
Judeo-Christians, so the Jew comes first.
yeah, and like that's the other thing too that started correlating with me too, this whole Israel first, Israel's our greatest ally. And then I'm like thinking about this, but why are we in, like, how do we benefit from this huge amount of foreign aid that we're giving to Israel? And I even knew this too, I started becoming aware of this. They steal our technology, they sell it to China. We outsource our jobs to China, and like this is all being done by them. But how do these people benefit us? Like, they don't give us anything at all except for this BS hook, line, and sinker that Israel first. Israel's our greatest ally, and that the strength and bonding between America and Israel strengthens freedom and democracy or something like that. And it's just like, it doesn't. And like, nobody can give you a clear answer as to how it does that. Like, I could tell you how it benefits Israel, but not America, you know, or that. But, and like, all these things just started waking me. And then I just got to the point where, like Scott Roberts, well, I should say this too, Angelo John Gage, but he's changed, and I was thinking about making a video about him because he used to be really hard on the Jews, and he's well aware of all the things that the Jews do, such as controlled opposition, because he's been on platforms with Scott Roberts.
He used to come on here quite frequently until there was a big blow up when he was promoting vaccines heavily. And it was very disappointing. He had actually done a show with myself and John Rose, a roundtable here on the Solar Storm about juice cleansing. I don't know if you know who John Rose is, but he's a pretty popular YouTuber, Jew aware, but he's a raw vegan. And he's very adamant about that. And he seems pretty well built for an older guy and doing quite well with his diet, so I'm not going to knock it. I'm just not doing it here myself. Any event, people change quickly. I saw him recently posting Instagram or something, Twitter.
I know.
I think it was a Big Mac or something.
So I'll get back to what I was going to say, because like, this is the thing with Angelo John Gage. There's a lot of things that's changed about him that I don't like, but I mean, it's his life and whatever. But back then he went on the veganism diet and then he stopped, and I was like, what the hell, man? Like, why'd you stop it? And he just didn't respond. And then this was before my channel started getting subscribers. This is when I was maybe like 50 or 60 subscribers, so I was a nobody. And then he started doing this whole, you know, Donald Trump thing. And I was like, dude, why are you jumping on the Trump train? Like, somebody like you should obviously know that Donald Trump is controlled opposition. Like, everything about him, how he got on the center stage, the media, and I talked about this in my videos. It's just totally a con game as to how the media is just feeding you all this stuff that you want to hear and what you want to see. And then he's like, no, Trump's going to, you know, make America great and all this stuff. And then he's playing along with the whole triggering and the memes, like, you know, the milk aspect. And I was just like, okay, this guy's gone off the rail. But even, you know, with the whole vaccine aspect, it's like, dude, come on. Like, you should be well aware of these things. But then I forgot what really – oh, so this is what I think happened that really made me aware that he's totally gone – like different, is because he started getting popular. And back then when he had his YouTube channel, which he has a new one, he made that video, Make Whites Great Again. It's like, it was inspirational, all this stuff, but it was politically incorrect. And now when you see his YouTube videos, it's about if it fits your macros, eating chicken, lean, stuff like that. And I was just like, dude, like, I don't understand. Like when you take the pill, the Jew pill, I don't know how you can go back into the Jew tricks or just play along with it. But I think he's just trying to get on that popular bandwagon and just go social media aspect or something.
And that's why people are skeptical of you, because, you know, you've changed rather quickly. And it's not that you've gone back on anything, and we hope that you don't, but
no,
we've seen so
back.
Many people come and go, and you know, they're saying all the right things 1 minute, and then, oop, completely out the door, I've changed, and now, you know, it's cool to go eat a Big Mac. You know, you're still getting your good protein in after a lift.
I would never eat a Big Mac. Hell, like, it's not good. Like, I would not even say that.
So,
like,
let's get on to this very controversial issue. We talked a little bit about MGTOW and where that is leading. And I agree with you, the final solution for the white problem, according to Jews. Let's now talk about how we have this very toxic manosphere reaction to feminism, with Milo being one of the big champions of this anti-feminism crusade, and how it has led to things such as this new white Sharia meme. And how you have decided to take this up and really deconstruct what this is all about, because I think it's very important, and it is a deliberate plot by our enemies to negate any of the good progress pro-whites have been making by making our movement completely unpalatable to women and hostile to women. Well, that's just one of the many aspects of why this meme is so awful and why it should be discussed here on Mother's Day.
I agree. I mean, like, I made a video addressing it because it's just a ridiculous notion of how, like, it comes down to my video of what is an American. Like, we white Europeans, we assimilate into foreign cultures and religious ideologies instead of the other way around. And, like, this whole white Sharia aspect pretty much falls in line with that. And even, like, when I was watching but I was just looking at some National Socialism aspect between the race relations and gender. And this is just part of my awakening too, because I'm still not, like, in depth as much knowledge as you are, because I'm still learning about all this stuff and just how, like, the promotion of pride, heritage, and racial purity and all this stuff. And, like, with Hitler, he turned around the degeneracy of the Weimar Republic, and I did a video about this, and I was just, like, amazed as to how even back then they had transgenders, the LGBTQ kind of aspect, and Hitler cleaned it up. And with this, well, I'm getting off track.
No, it's very much on track. We have this scourge of SJWs and feminists and anti-whites out there in the youth. And hey, a lot of the people on the right, they're pretty damn degenerate as well. We have our fair share of pro-white degenerates. Oh, that's for damn sure. But the point is that they can be resuscitated. They can be brought back to life. They could be made healthier. Maybe they can't live up to their full potential because of the damage that's been done already, but they could be brought around to a much better state of existence. And we can clear up a lot of those problems. Basically, Jews have given many mental VDs out to our people. And I do think it's good to accept people who have had a checkered past, and especially if they're willing to reform. Now, you mentioned how you used to race mix. Scott Roberts has mixed children himself. Other people such as John Friend, he has a half Asian daughter. There are plenty of men who are accepted within the larger pro-white community, even though they've race mixed or even have race mixed children. But if a woman was going to try that, if she had recently been burning coal or had mixed children, you better believe that she is welcome nowhere near the struggle. So that's one of those real big double standards. And I don't understand why one should be acceptable and the other not. I tend to think that if you do have skin in the game, kind of on the other team, it's best for you to keep some distance from the heart, the core of especially leadership. And it's just it's very interesting to me to see one aspect be accepted. Oh, white men are conquerors. You know, we could go off and just conquer other lands. And, you know, Matt Forney, it's perfectly acceptable for him to promote Filipino sex tourism, but and for Roosh to promote his sexcapades across Europe. An Arab man with European women. Those people were welcomed in MPI and are still, Matt Forney's promoted by Red Ice all the time. So what I'm getting at is there is an insane double standard here, and it needs to be called out. But yeah.
Hang on, I want to make a little joke. So Matt Forney, the conqueror. Like, seriously, like, that is the white male, that's your leader, for these alt-right. And I made videos addressing that, just even like these people, like, just how they look and what they do. Like, at least with me, I was having sex with a female, not going to like places where these people are desperate, poor, and we're at the point where you could be having sex with children or prostitutes. It's just like, come on,
Andrew
man. And then,
Anglin, Andrew
and then,
Anglin with his Asian jailbait girlfriend.
yeah, and like with Me Too. And speaking about that, I heard things where he said like African women are so superior and that the white race needs to be genocided, all that stuff. It's like, when I was race mixing, I never stated that African women were superior or that the white race needs to be genocided and all this stuff. I just looked at all women the same and all this stuff or whatever. I just looked, because it was back then when I was just sort of, you could say, pick, or what you said, pick up artist mode. I don't care. I have no pride. I don't, whatever. It's just sex and whatever. Because this world is filled with so much degeneracy, dysfunctionality, and of course, destructive ideologies, mindsets, and behaviors that you have no respect for anybody or anything in this world. It's just all about self-gratification. And
And that's actually the essence of homosexuality itself. And it could very well be due to a parasite, which has been exposed on this network here before. How, well, it's any number of things about somebody being in a state of ill health in so many different ways and having an unstable mind. And we talked about reviving the degenerates. And George Lincoln Rockwell, Commander Rockwell, he would accept former homosexuals into his organization, but definitely no active ones. And I just think it's so telling, so very telling, that the alt-right would much rather embrace homosexual men than strong females.
and I've just been getting into George Lincoln Rockwell. That guy is amazing. That, like, everything he says just hits home. And like, that's another guy that I'm really, he's really teaching me a lot. And it's just ironic because back then in 1956, I think it was, he exposed the fake news media outlets. But now everybody's waking up as to, oh, the news is fake. And it's just like crazy that back then, just because he put on the imagery of Nazis, which he stated that that was his only way to really get his message out there.
PR
And
stunt.
William.
And it was a much different environment than it was today. And he did well with what he was doing. I think given time, if he wasn't assassinated, he would have won over the youth. A very talented man with he was a cartoonist, an artist, and he had such charisma. When he was presenting to these college students, he went into hostile territory at the beginning, and he'd leave with people laughing and cheering as he was laying the truth out there for them in sometimes a humorous way.
Yep. And so I guess we'll get back on the white Sharia.
Yeah, well, he wasn't promoting white Sharia. A lot of great leaders from the past have not promoted white Sharia. But we live in a different environment today, and the larger struggle right now thinks that any meme that's edgy or I don't even know what
It
their sta
goes
they don't
from
have any
one extreme.
standards. They have no standards, but a meme's a meme. And hey, don't be too uptight, too serious, bro. It's all a joke when actually, when you look at it, it really is not.
Yeah, because people actually take it serious and start promoting it. And like the other thing too, is that within this society, we tend to go with the extremes. And like that's what's going on. It's like, see, people get, I should say this, the people that are aware of how Jews are the ones that are in control of all this stuff, they still do not focus on the Jew. They focus on the symptoms. Like, for example, if you really want to get this society back in order, get rid of the root source, which is the Jews, because they are the ones flooding our countries with these Muslims. They are the ones brainwashing our women with feminism, the degeneracy through the music industry, Hollywood, the news media outlets, everything, these constant images, the
Toxic
whole,
chemicals, the whole thing. And
everything.
it's the men too. They're targeting all of us in different ways. And it's had a great effect. And we need to take responsibility for having allowed this to happen as men. It is our role to defend our lands and our women. And men failed at that. And I think part of it is because of the Trojan horse that is, well, Judaism. We didn't realize that we had actually been invaded. And by the time that, some people began to realize it was too late. It was too late. They had taken over the highest levels, and they had
The
people,
slow
yeah.
decay. That was their best def best way of infiltrating was a slow, you know, slow process. Start taking control of the main aspects, the financial institutions, the government, and the news media outlets, and then slowly start pumping out all their stuff through generation through generation. Because that's how it goes. Every generation gets worse. The degeneracy, the dysfunctional, the destructive lifestyles, ideologies, mindsets, as well as the pushing, like even the vaccines aspect. Back then it was maybe like 3 vaccines. Then it went to like 8, 16. Now it's something to like 55 or something. It's a slow, gradual process, and they start programming people with all this fear-mongering and stuff. And it's
the Boston Herald said that people who even question, parents who question or debate vaccines should be hung.
And this perfectly sums up everything about them. If you resist, if you speak out against their agenda, you're going to be killed, period. Like, there's so many studies and evidence about how unvaccinated children have higher immune responses and can fight off these symptoms, because the majority of these diseases or things that these vaccines are supposed to cure, the main thing that you could do to prevent or fight back against this is proper nutrition and sanitation. Because back then in the 1900s, our sanitation was not very clean. Sterilization definitely wasn't there. And when we actually started sterilizing things, cleaning things, and of course cleaning up our sanitation issues, the majority of the problems went away. And then, as well as, you know, the proper nutrition. And when the nutrition aspect started getting eroded, because I think it was in like the 1950s and 60s is when they started introducing high sugary foods. They changed the nutrition promotion towards a high carbohydrate diet. But it wasn't plant-based diet. It was like low fat. So then they started pumping out as usual, or not as usual, but with the inclusion of trans fats through margarines, through Crisco, all that stuff, and getting rid of real fats. And now I'm not promoting animal fats, but animal fats are a lot healthier than man-made synthetic trans fats through hydrogenation. Now, that also on your one video about trans fats and trannies, if you have a 2% increase of trans fats in your diet, there's a correlation that it will increase all cardiovascular diseases by 33%. That is a guarantee. And that, when you take that 2% increase, the average American,
we have a break here, you can't hear it. But we'll come back in about 4 minutes. Stay tuned, everyone. President and CEO of the Jewish Council for Public Affairs.
There are two issues at the top of our agenda at the very moment. One is the unbelievably important immigration debate in this country, to make sure that immigrants from around the world, particularly those from south of our border, have a chance here.
And here's an interview with Rabbi Goldschmidt.
Essentially, what you're saying is that in this boat, you're together with both Muslims
yes.
And people of other denominations.
And we see ourselves together, fighting together with our Muslim brothers.
Thanks, Jews.
Did you have a friend on the Liberty? I had a friend on the Liberty. They tried to sink her to the bottom of the sea. She kept on floating into history. Unmarked jets flew down from the sky and shot up our ship and nobody knew why. A torpedo boat blew a hole in her side. A lot of sailors hurt and 34 died. Come to find out it was part of a plan. They'd sink our ship, she'd go down with all hands. Blame it on Egypt to trick us in a war. The trick didn't work, the crew showed them what's for. Did you have a friend on the Liberty? I had a friend on the Liberty. Who tried to sink her? It was Israelis. But she kept on floating into his story.
Renegade Broadcasting.
You did it to yourself, Goyim. You chose to eat the trans fats. You chose to have this unhealthy diet. And it's only you who are to blame. You know, you women, your white women, they're the ones welcoming in all of these awful refugees. Oh,
you know, one on the other side, all the quotes coming out. You know, you look behind all these organizations. Most of them are explicitly Jewish. Rabbi after rabbi telling you exactly what they're doing, yet they're trying to get us to blame ourselves for all of the poisons they have injected into us physically, into our bodies, through the food that we are fed, but we choose to eat, of course. We don't know any better. And also through all the toxic ideologies that they pump into us, whether it's the indoctrination in school, through the media, or whether it's our countries being injected with all of these diverse elements that are killing us. They are killing our bodies on the individual level, and they're killing our bodies in terms of nations on the geopolitical level. It is all-out white genocide, and it is something that needs to be confronted. And we're not going to do that by beating around the bush and only dealing with a symptom here or a symptom there and never getting down to the root cause, the root problem, the pathogen. So, Andrew, the Veganator, welcome back. Could you please talk about this really important point of Jews trying to convince us that we did it to ourselves, and how this ties into the white Sharia and blaming white women for everything?
Sure. I first want to mention this too. If you really want to know how it's Jews behind this push for refugees, go to HIAS.org. Check out that website. Just look around there and see all the details, the facts, the promotion, and of course that the champions of welcoming these refugees within to your homeland, but not Israel.
We have a commercial by a woman who works with HIAS on this network. We play that commercial. We can't hammer this point home enough. Let me actually read a quote here from 2011, Rabbi Aaron Haviv at the World Jewish Congress. The homogeneity of European nations is fundamentally against the interests of the Jewish people. We are at a critical turning point in history. The West is becoming more and more racially diverse, and soon the white race will be forced into submission. The future of the West is that of an ethnically diverse melting pot where the evil divisions of race and white supremacy no longer reign. This is all thanks to the tremendous power of our social movements and institutions. This great change will be catalyzed by Muslim settlement from the land of Israel. Jews will forever be a light unto the new monoracial world as guaranteed by GD. Now, of course, probably Jews will say, no, that quote isn't even real. But there are many, many instances of Jews saying exactly this. We have plenty of them playing through the breaks. They have absolutely beaten us into submission where they can call for our genocide. And if we even say anything critical of it, we're the haters and, you know, God's chosen people who are calling for our genocide. They are the poor victims. It is absolutely insane. This everything is reversed in this bizarro world created by Jews. And they have done such a damn good job in being able to deflect responsibility over and over again and getting us to blame anybody but them.
It's very infuriating too, trying to awaken others to this notion, because like when you point out these aspects about how they are openly bragging and boasting about how they are pushing this and actually achieving this, people will still sit there, deny, or actually defend them on their actions. Like, no, they're the victims, or no, they're not doing it. And it's like what I said, like, go to these websites, look at what they're doing. Now they picture it and, you know, present it as, you know, a loving, caring, human and civil rights activism, when you really start thinking about what this is about and how it's declining our demographics. It is not about, you know, so much caring and love. It's a fake facade that they put on. And the thing is that what you just said is that when you try to tell people about this or call them out on this, you are the evil racist or a Nazi. And it comes to how it's all because they control the media, the narrative, and everything else. And it's an uphill battle for us. And people will still deny all these things that are going on when you give them fact after fact. And like, that is the one thing that I cannot stand. And it goes along with this whole notion with the white Sharia, because see, instead of calling out the root problem, because they know there's going to be punishment, or they're going to get resistance or something bad to them when they call out the root cause of the problem. So instead, they rely on the symptom, the you know, the white women, which has absolutely no power within this country. Because the one thing I put on my video about the whole white Sharia thing is do you really think white women are the ones that want to welcome in these, and, you know, throwing up the bunny ears, enrichers to where they are destroying their homeland, raping, attacking women? Because let's think about it. White women, particularly white European women, are the victims of what these Muslims and invaders are doing. Now, yes, they do attack the men, but they go for the women because they are easy targets. So going along with that whole notion too, that white women are invading or allowing these immigrants to come into our countries and actually encouraging them because they want to get raped by them. No woman gets off on getting raped, because when rape occurs, it's usually due to violence.
No, I've seen the Daily Stormer, and they publish these articles about how, you know, study after study shows that women are fantasizing. Almost all women are fantasizing about being raped, gang raped, brutally.
No, like, wouldn't that make sense as to how that this is just the more constant promotion that this is what you want, when in reality it is not? Like, the whole diversity is our strength aspect, or we have to do more for tolerance, equality, such as we got to help out the Section 8, food stamps for everybody, but for the white man, no, it's okay to be discriminated at the job place, or you can't get this promotion because, well, we need more diversity in the upper management position. And then when you see the upper management position, it comes to the difference that, well, these people are not qualified, and their skill levels and examples clearly show that, to the point where you have to do their job. But if you call that out or try to correct it, you're a racist, and that you will actually be pulled into the manager's office and, you know, corrected for that behavior. And it goes along with this whole notion too with the rape aspect. They constantly pump out this misinformation to keep us complacent and compliant with what's being implemented upon us. such as how, think about this imagery about like the white European women saying refugees welcome. Okay, yes, there might be 10 of them, but when you look at the majority of white women, or actually let me back up a little bit. So you got 10 women with welcome refugees. Now, there's also a lot of images out there with men holding signs that say welcome refugees also. And it goes along with this notion. See, the majority of these men will not call out other men that are exhibiting the same type of behavior or ideologies, but they just want to pick on women.
That's what I was saying about the race mixing too. It's always with these double standards. I just wanted to interject here and just point out how absolutely evil it is for our men to be threatening white Sharia upon our women when they're being raped and brutalized by invading hordes of the worst from Arab nations and African nations as well. Yep. It's beyond me that people don't want to go out and string up these people on the most popular alt-right, pro-white websites like such as TRS and the Daily Storm, that this isn't more infuriating, that it's not more than just you and myself and a few others, and you know, especially here on Renegade, talking about this and calling it out for what it is. That's amazing to me. Nobody's willing to rock the boat and really come out in a big way, at least not anybody with a sizable following. And oppose this. There are some people on Twitter. There are some really good people opposing this and calling this out for what it is. But you look at the leadership levels, all these people who are celebrated, especially by the Jewish media. No, absolutely no one is speaking out against this.
No. And it falls along the whole line of this divide and conquer aspect. Because, I mean, what better thing to do than divide the white race from their women and men from, you know, working together against the problem? But that's how all this goes on.
It should infuriate us to no end that our women are being so badly brutalized. It should not make us want to brutalize them. No, we should be seeking justice for this. But think of the psychological operation at play here, where we have our women being absolutely brutalized in so many different ways, but yet we're not going out there and defending them. Instead, we're saying we're going to brutalize you even worse because you're the ones who made this happen. That is so sick. This psychological operation is it was cooked up right out of Tel Aviv, it seems. It's disgusting.
Yep, and this falls in line with my MGTOW equals the final solution for the white race, because in that video, and this is why I say it's like I can't go back, because of the things that I have said and stated, such as this. See, back in America in the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, when the KKK was around, it wasn't this whole racist out, you know, group just lynching blacks left and right and all this stuff. No, it's been twisted, that narrative. The KKK was there in place to keep morals, values, decency within the white community, as well as keep, you know, the blacks from raping white women, destroying us and attacking us. Because see, as you see, in all of our countries, we have no racial heritage group to protect ourselves or identity, such as, you know, like what white or any, you know, white European group out there that can advocate any legitimate grievances or concerns to maintain their power or to protect their community. You can't. But every other racial group can. And in America, as we see, the huge amount of interracial rapes that goes on, and there's no repercussion for it. And it goes along this whole line where it's because we have been disenfranchised. We've been, and I like to say this too, cucked to the point where, she was raped. Well, it's not that bad. It's okay. And we keep resorting to these things instead of actually, you know what? We need to change these things. We need to start pushing back and making people fear us, because nobody fears us really. Nowadays, people openly and aggressively exhibit, and now this might seem it's not real because this is the bullshit that they put out there, is there's no such thing as race or reverse racism. The amount of racism that whites get, especially from hostility and violence towards us, it's on full display. It's encouraged and it's promoted every single day, and it's because nobody fears us. And And it goes along with this whole, like, the white Sharia thing. Because in my video, I talked about this. You know, what's the bigger problem destroying Europe? Is it the Muslims and Africans invading your country, or is it the white women? Now, if you control your white women and actually get them to be so morally clean and non-degenerate, is that going to stop the Islamification of Europe or the Africanization of Europe? No. You're still being genocided or dispossessed within your own homeland. So why are you sitting here focusing on white women? Or better yet, why even focus on these migrants or anything when you need to go to the root source of the problem, which is the Jews that are opening up our borders, who control our politicians, the financial institutions? And like, this is – sorry, I'm getting a little upset, but this is the thing that I can't stand, is that people – they love to get on these like social justice warrior brigades about, oh, these are the facts and statistics about, like, this is what white women are voting. This is what these liberals want.
It's actually, like, they never cares? They never show what how white women actually vote, because it is more towards the right. And hey, I don't even endorse the right. I don't endorse the right or the left. They're both Jewish controlled, both Jewish puppets. A Jew is standing behind there with his hand up the asses of both the people on the right and the left. And they're so similar in so many different ways. But what I was getting at was they vote more to the right. And these people out there don't want to differentiate between white women and the rest of the women. Because when you take into account the whole entirety of women, yeah, they will vote more towards the Democratic Party, or in other countries, more towards the left. And it's just not an accurate representation of how women really feel, because white women think differently than other women.
Well, the other thing too is in my opinion, we keep focusing on this government, which is controlled. But the thing is that we need to start going after the sources that we have never attacked, which is the financial institutions, like the Federal Reserve, or actually, like, for example, like these Antifa protests. Why would you go out there defending the president? He has the Secret Service on his side. He has the National Guard, or better yet, he can send in the military. Do you really need to go protect them? Or see, if you really want to make changes in society, go have a huge march on the Federal Reserve. And even this notion too.
Or AIPAC. I was at AIPAC and none of our people were there. There were some anti-Zionist, anti-right, Likudnik Jews out there. A lot of Jews were there, but none of our people were out there protesting AIPAC. They're too busy MAGA marching. It's a great point that you bring up. We're not focusing on the right issues. It gets us nowhere. Going out there and siding with the Emperor of Zog.
Because it's the same thing. They keep us within this Jew tricks. They keep playing games as to how, oh, this is the problem over here. This is the problem. Well, who is the one saying it's the problem? That's who we need to go after, because – and I made this on videos too. What are these talking points going to do for you? Are you actually going to put in action to attack the problem instead of going back and forth arguing? Because that's all we've been doing for the last 50 years. It's just bickering and arguing one amongst another instead of, you know, actually uniting, because we all know that there's a problem within our societies as to how it comes down to a root source that we're not. We just keep fighting each other, infighting. And this is like the biggest effective tactic that the Jews have, is that they know how to exploit this aspect with us. And it's infuriating because, like, with this whole white Sharia thing, like, it's such a childish thing. And people jump on, like, the Make America Great thing. People jump on these bandwagons. They love that excitement, triggering other people and, you know, like –
triggering lefties. Let me post a frog and then the okay asshole sign. Yeah, great idea.
And like, the thing is that, like, I told people this too, and I think I made a video about this. Stop triggering our own people. Stop fighting with them. Because when you do this to them, you're actually pushing them away farther, and, you know, it's going to be harder to get them back on your side, or to even get them on your side, because you sit there triggering them and, you know, being an asshole to them. Like, people that I talk to that are not aware of the problem and will not, you know, come to terms with it, I'm not going to sit there and get frustrated and be like, you know what, you're an idiot, blah, blah, blah. Like, how can you not see this? No, I tell them this. I go, look, you might not believe me right now, but later on down the road, you'll see as to how all these things correlate, and it'll snap one day, because usually it does. It might take a year, it might take 2 years, and even though it's a long time, but eventually, hopefully, they will come to terms with it, because as I've seen before, the majority of people who become aware of this, they don't go back. And like for me, I can't really go back after a lot of the things I said, and I don't want to go back, because I have a lot of, like, when I actually came to terms with my heritage and as to what's going on and as to how, like, what my family has done in the past, like the amount of effort and pride in it, I don't want that to go away. I actually want to keep that going. And like even this whole notion about in America, the promotion that, you know, we're all one race, you shouldn't care about your heritage, it's just live for the moment.
We all bleed red.
Sorry, are we on a break?
No, sorry, I said we all bleed red.
Yeah, we all bleed red. Get your own self-gratification. Just get your money, get your job, and stay plugged into the system and go party. And it's fun for the moment, but then you start realizing that something's missing. Like, it's fake. And like when you start actually looking into the past and seeing how that the past generations were a lot happier than our current present, or, you know, generations, and they didn't have cell phones, technologies, the advances. And it's like the more we become disconnected with our people, because that's the other thing too, we are social creatures, we actually need to be in like physical contact with each other, because I do believe that we do give off some kind of energy towards each other, especially when, you know, we're in physical form next to each other, and you feed off of that energy. Like, for example,
and diseases like anti-Semitism can spread much, much quicker.
I guess.
It's true. I mean, think of how effective the social networks online have been. Well, if we had real physical social networks, we'd be really getting somewhere.
Oh, okay. Yeah, now I know what you're getting. Yeah, because it's just another form of controlled, you know, information to pump out there. Like Facebook, I forgot what article it was about, but they said that the government was busted, you know, putting out all this fake news media onto Facebook to control the, you know, the narrative and story. And it's like it goes right there. People feed into these stories. They see it. They get triggered. And it comes down to the same thing. The Jews will create a problem. They wait for a reaction. And they have two sides of the story, or two sides for the problem. And they give both sides justification to go after each other and destroy each other instead of focusing on the root problem.
Feminism and MGTOW. Well, even just think about how they created the problem of bringing all of these non-whites in. It was Jews behind that. They're the ones who have been really behind the control of a lot of the reaction. The reactionaries, like Reactionary Jew. I don't know if you ever came across him. He was interviewed on Red Ice. And then the solution. The solution that they offer, they'll give us a red pill or a blue pill. They'll give you a Pepsi or Coke. They'll give you a Republican or a Democrat. And both of them are going to end up with you completely effed in the end, and them on top. But you got to choose one. If it wasn't the red pill, it was going to be the blue pill. So, I mean, I had to take the red pill.
God. Like, that's the other thing, too. That it falls in line with the whole thing. Oh, you got to vote for the lesser of two evils. It's like, you know, and this is the thing. People understand that this is corrupt. All these things are corrupt. It's unfair. But they still reside with it and go along with it and keep thinking that there's going to be some hope or change within this society. It's like, no, you're staying complicit and compliant with the system instead of actually unite. Because this is the one thing that, like, I talk about all these things on my videos. People understand that we live under a tyrannical government. And in the Constitution, which has been amended by the Jews to the point where, it says there that you have the moral and righteous obligation to overthrow a tyrannical government. So the Jews were like, well, we got to fix that. We got to put some amendments and some laws down to state that, well, if you try to do that, you're going to go to jail and face some prison time. Because obviously, as we see now, it's a tyrannical government. And what are you going to do to overthrow it or change this? Nothing. You just want to sit there and say that we're going to go with the lesser of two evils. So even if you're going with the lesser of two evils, it's still fulfilling an evil agenda, because eventually it's still going to get to that point, because it might not be as fast. And I made a video about this. I actually came to terms with that. I wish Hillary Clinton won, because then the majority of Americans would be out on the streets or marching up to Washington, D.C. and actually trying to overthrow this government.
Exactly. The Pizzagate protest, which I attended because it was right before AIPAC, it would have had people flooding. It would have had the right wing flooding into the area, demanding heads on the platter, you know, heads on the stakes. It would have been a much different environment if we had this right wing reaction actually being anti-establishment, because right now they're all doing everything they can because of all these psyops. Anybody who's legitimate out there has been pretty much forced to buy into this. Not forced into it, but they've bought into this, and it's so disappointing to see all of the resentment towards this genocidal government has been redirected, and in this judo fashion has been turned around and is working now to keep Zog in place and further divide our people, causing chaos all over. But think about the symbols of this alt-right. Keck, another name for him is Cuck, Pepe Frog. You have him as the Egyptian god of chaos and darkness, representing a white movement, a god of darkness and chaos. Well, we know all about order out of chaos, the order ab chao, above the double-headed eagle 33, and what that's all about. And that's what they're all about here, chaos on the streets, so as to be able to further establish their new world order, their Novus Ordo Seclorum. And it's just so obvious to me, especially when you see groups like Matt Heimbach's Trad Youth having the Chaos Star, which is promoted by the anti-white Alexander Dugin. A chaos star representing white interests? What is this really all about? Think about it. All of this chaos that has been caused. Is this real Aryan order? No, it's the absolute opposite of it. And what we need to be doing is establishing an Aryan order and not some kind of degeneracy dump where it's just complete chaos and just triggering people is seen as a sign of success. It is retarded. We need to really transcend all of the different left-right Hegelian dialectic traps that have been set up for us and really strike at the heart of this hydra as soon as possible. So I personally don't think we have much time left. We are going to be skipping the next break that was supposed to come up at the half-hour mark simply because you can't hear them, and it's just, you know, get in the way of the flow. But we have about half an hour left, so let's start talking a little bit more about nutrition and bodybuilding. I don't consider myself a bodybuilder. I guess I do build my body, but I lift weights and I run, and I don't eat animal products except for honey. But the point is that I actually feel very strong. I feel like it's not hindering my development whatsoever. And I might have been stronger when I was playing college football, but I had also been lifting longer. I was taking all sorts of supplements, and I was about 40 pounds heavier. But I'm getting quickly back up to my college level strength after not too long committing to the gym again and lifting far more infrequently, and I'm not even taking all that much protein. I do take a little bit of plant protein, but it's just incredible how people think that they need to have all of this meat in their diet in order to be healthy and strong, when there are so many living examples of people being able to be very physically fit on a plant-based diet. So please tell us what it was like for you, as somebody who's very interested in fitness, to transition onto a plant-based regimen.
Hey, Kyle, before I answer that, can I throw in a little comment about what you just previously mentioned about the Keck signs and all that stuff?
Oh, yeah, sorry, I didn't even throw it back to you.
Because this is the one thing I just came to terms with that's actually very important that I just realized. See, us whites, we really don't have any mainstream collective group organization out there that's popular. And with this whole Trump promotion, it's like the first of its kind to where whites actually feel that we have a mainstream, like, community promoted out there. And like, see, this is part of this whole way of keeping the goyim complacent and compliant to this system. Because, like, with Donald Trump, and I can't believe you didn't even mention this because of your video, the okay sign as to how this is a white supremacy symbol, but really it's not. And, you know, you see everybody, all the white people out there, you know, throwing up the okay, you know, the Jew sign, just thinking that they're triggering everybody, but in reality they're signaling that I am part of the Jewish agenda. I'm a slave to you Jews. Thank you, master. And it's just, it's a way to keep us compliant because they know that we want to have a mainstream organization out there promoting our interests, concerns, or needs, and it's been lacking. So it's like they're filling in that void. Just, it's like a pressure release valve. And with Donald Trump in place, he's keeping us complacent to all the things as to how, like, he's not fulfilling his promises or stopping the white genocide agenda, or better yet, oh, we just need to give him more time. Oh, look, he has to, you know, fight the swamp when he's part of the swamp. He's controlled, like, but, like, I'm not going to get too far in that because we all know about his past, who he's done business with, everything else, and but they just don't want to connect the dots. They just want to keep having hope and faith in the system because they're throwing us little bones now. But going along with the whole bodybuilding, fitness, nutrition, supplements, and the vegan protein, and as to how you're overweight, I went throughout the same thing also because before I became a vegan,
they made me get fat. They made fun of me for not being fatter. Because I went from playing fullback to playing offensive line, and I was the least fat person on the offensive line. They wanted me to be even bigger. They actually gave someone diabetes because he switched from linebacker to offensive line. In college, a really top-notch athlete got diabetes because he was pressured into gaining as much weight as they wanted him to. It's absolutely sick. And this was Division III football.
That's how it goes with a lot of sports. And I was sort of that way. Like, there's bodybuilders around here that say I'm a genetic freak, and they tell me all the time that I should jump on the gear, but I don't want to because there's a lot of hormonal crap that goes on, and I don't want to do that. But, like, for me, I read all those bodybuilding magazines, and, you know, they never tell you it's about steroids or, you know, you got to take these hormones and stuff. But the one thing that they always tell you about is that you need to eat, 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 and don't eat your fruits and vegetables. Now they start slowly incorporating little bits about that, but not as much as back then. Like, back then, there was no promotion about vegetables or fruits. So I was just sitting there pounding down, like, ice cream, cookies, Kool-Aid with every meal. I'd wake up in the middle of the night to eat. Right now, I weigh about 195 to 200 pounds. But I used to weigh 240, and wow. That was when I was eating. I'm not even joking about this. This is how crazy it was.
I was never even that much. Wow.
I would eat about 4 pounds of chicken a day. I would drink, like, weight gainer protein shakes before and after my workout. I'd eat 3 eggs, I forgot how much beef a day, but it'd be like one little hamburger because beef is pretty expensive. And then just cookies, ice cream, almonds, no vegetables, no fruits. And then,
you gotta send pictures of what you looked like then.
I could do that. I gotta go get it from my old.
No, I'm not saying right now. I'm just saying I'm interested to see what you would have looked like then. Yeah, I'm about your same weight right now. Definitely not nearly as cut, I don't think. But I don't care so much about how I really look, to be honest. That's not really the reason I do this. A lot of it is actually preparation. I am incorporating this as part of a preparation plan for any contingency that might need to be taken. But also, you know, it's really good for your overall health, but your mind as well, because your mind really can only function properly when your health is balanced, when you're doing well physically. So It's something I think everybody should incorporate. I just don't overdo it. I think people really overdo it. They get the wrong advice in terms of what they're supposed to eat, like you're saying, with what you were consuming. But they're also, they get so obsessed. And part, there's a healthy level of obsession with fitness, but people take it to an extreme and it becomes very compulsive. So I want you to also talk about that, but please return to your story if you want and tell us how you got out of this this gigantic form.
So, like, I'm actually going to make a video about that too, my transitions and stuff, because I do have the photos. But yeah, I was back then like you on the supplements, protein powders, but I was not protein powders. I was on weight gainers, and you should check out those weight gainers. They're insane. They're just loaded up with oils and sugar. Like literally just sugar and oil. And then I was strong. Like I was really strong back then, but if you asked me to run a mile, no, I couldn't do it. So, when I started studying nutrition and became, you know, in that field, I was like, well, fruits and vegetables are healthy for your diet. That's where you get your micronutrients. But see, when you're on supplements, you know, that's where you're getting your vitamins and micronutrients, but it's not the same quality and the amount you're able to absorb, because when you're taking it in pill form, it's not as bioavailable as a, you know, the plant, because a lot of it's synthetic. So I started incorporating vegetables, but I would never eat fruit because I was like, oh, the glucose in it, or sucrose.
Fructose.
Oh, it's gonna, or that's it, fructose. The fructose is gonna give you diabetes, high insulin. But when I start studying, you know, it's the fiber in the fruit that prevents that high insulin spike. Now, if you drink orange juice or fruit juice, yes, it will spike up your insulin level because it's, that fiber is not present there. Like if you drink non-pulped orange juice, you know, they say it's worse than soda. But so then I started eating vegetables and fruits. My weight started going down, but I was doing a lot of cardiovascular exercises and stuff to get my heart, you know, to get my endurance up. And then when I started going towards the vegan aspect, I was like, well, let me back up a little bit. So I started working in the cardiovascular and transplant operating room. So I made videos about this. And in there, I started to learn that your diet is very important for your health. Like literally all the patients that were coming in there were obese. They had cardiovascular disorders and had diabetes, as well as liver disorders. And the doctors there were always talking about nutrition. They had dietitians there. And that was when I really made a transition, because I was like, I do not want to be on this operating room table ever. Because when you see how these operations go down, just the damage to the body, the way they saw the individual, the way they recover, and just like bones, it's bone cracking because they're getting invasive.
You look at the heart of an obese person, it's so disgusting. And yes, this has happened so very rapidly. There have always been obese people, but just even in my lifetime, I've seen America change from being overweight to being morbidly obese.
Yeah, and now it's like over 66% of the population is overweight. And that's not include – well, that's including the morbidly obese and everything else. But back then, I don't think there was people weighing 500-plus pounds.
Not everyone had to have a scooter to get around Walmart.
Yeah. And that just goes along with the whole Monsanto and the whole processed foods and trans fats promotion, because these are slow, gradual ways that they're poisoning us. And then it just starts building up because, like even food labeling is very important, but I don't want to get off topic on that. If you want to know about that, check out my channel, my very old videos. I talk about the trans fats, how they mislabel and all that shit and undernames. But so then I was at the point where I'm like, well, I need to really start preparing myself for the future, because I know I'm never going to be rich or make a lot of money to the point where I'm going to be able to afford these type of surgeries, even if I get to that point. And I do not want to experience that. So I really want to start taking care of myself now. So I started going vegan. I actually went cold turkey. I didn't slowly transition into it. I just went vegan. And it's like with everything else. When you really put your mind to something, you're going to go with it. And, like, that's what I'm at right now. So just went with it.
When was this? This was 2015, maybe?
This was August 2015 is when I went vegan.
Pretty recently. I think for myself it was 2008. Now, with you, did you have any adverse effects?
Well, I'm going to talk about that right now. So first off, when I went vegan, my mental – because this is the most important thing when it comes to bodybuilding, fitness, as you mentioned. It's a very obsessive, compulsive disorder type of behavior and lifestyle. You obsess over how much you eat, how much cardio you do, how much you lift, the supplements, the timing, and all this crap. And I'm like that type of person. And I think you might be able to tell that with my videos because, like, when I make my videos, I get very – like, it's just how I am. I'm just dedicated, and it's like I have to get it done. And everything sort of has to be perfect, but I've been slowly pushing away from that because it's bad for your mental health as well as your physical health, just the way it erodes at what you think and do. So with the whole veganism aspect, I was like, look, I don't care if I lose muscle mass or whatever. It's about being healthy. And the thing was, is even though all the nutritional articles that I read, and even in my there's a book called the Krauss Nutrition Manual, which is the dietitian's like handbook. It's like over 1,000 pages long. Within that book, it tells you how veganism is the most healthiest diet out of all diets. The lowest rates the lowest rates of chronic illnesses, disorders, they live the longest, everything else. But there's so much propaganda out there that tells you, don't go veganism, it's going to do this and that to you, when, okay, you might be vitamin B6 or 12 deficient. You have so many supplements out there that will fulfill those needs. But yet everybody who's not on a veganism diet is morbidly obese, having cardiovascular disease, cancer, and all this stuff. But so I was just like, I'm going to go vegan. I don't care. I'm going to do it because this is one thing that I have never tried, and I want to live as long as I can. So when I went vegan, the first thing that I noticed was that I gained about 10 pounds. And the reason why that was because I was on your typical low carbohydrate, high fat, or medium fat, but high protein diet. So when I started eating high amounts of carbohydrates, your body starts restoring its glycogen stores, which is what your muscles feed off of or store glucose in. So with the glycogen, it also draws in water into the muscle bellies. So that's where I gained all that weight. So then I was like, I don't care, whatever, you know, I'm just going to do this because I don't really care about my body image anymore, because I'm never going to achieve that, you know, I'm a muscle bodybuilder, you know, juiced out, because it's all about steroids really when it comes down to bodybuilding.
The people who are on the cover of the magazines.
And that's the other thing too, because now I'm 29 years old and I've come to terms with myself that I'm never going to have like the six pack abs or shredded to the gills type of notion. Like where I'm at right now is actually the leanest that I ever been. And so about after a month when I gained those 10 pounds, I started to notice that I started slowly dropping the weight, but it wasn't muscle weight, it was fat. And the craziest thing about me when I transitioned on a vegan diet was that you feel so much lighter. You feel so much like you could think clearer. But the one thing that I noticed too right away was that the first month when I went vegan, I felt really sick. Like you could actually see – well, you didn't see it or anybody, but I noticed that my skin was like orangey. And what I read too is that it's like you're detoxing.
Trumpish. It's a Trumpish hue to you.
Yeah. So you start detoxing because you're giving your body – well, you're not introducing those toxins in your body anymore or as much. So your body starts to clean itself out. Your liver starts to detoxify. You're starting to give yourself antioxidants, micronutrients, things that – you don't normally eat, especially on a bodybuilding diet, because it's so high in meats and like a lot of these meats. This is another reason why I went vegan also. And it wasn't due to the animals and all this stuff, but it's due to the quality of meat in America. Because with this whole Fukushima radiation thing, I think it was Hillary Clinton passed legislation to allow radioactive fish from Japan to come into America, but yet in Japan, China, and Korea, they will not allow that fish in their markets. And they actually have Geiger meters in the grocery stores for their customers to see if that fish is radioactive. And I seen a video where these guys were in a Japanese sushi restaurant and they pulled out a Geiger meter, and on the sushi it was like lighting up. And I was like, fuck it, I'm not eating meat anymore. But I never used to eat fish anyways because of the whole fish farming.
You know, a lot of chicken in the U.S. is actually sent to China first, processed, and then shipped back.
Yep, I heard about – that's another thing too that got me changed my mind. And then also the whole pink slime incident and how you see these – and everybody – like this is the crazy part. Everybody sees this video where they take meat that's rotten and then they color it or they gas it or they glue it together in pieces. And people don't, you know, change their diets. They're just like, no, I'm going to eat my meat because I love my meat. And – this meat's not fresh, like, unless you actually get it from the farm, because a lot of people don't know this, is that your meat is probably like 1 or 2 weeks old, you know, from the time it was slaughtered by the time it gets to the supermarket. Because a lot of these meats, as you'll see, it's only like 3 days before it expires.
You know, I want to throw this out there. I really triggered some listener to Renegade when I did those shows about juicing and about trans fats and fat trannies. He called himself Raw Truth, and he said that he raises his own animals. And I was thinking, how is this guy who's raising his own animals call himself Raw Truth? You'd think Raw Truth would be a raw vegan, like that. But no, it's what he was talking about with raw is that he eats his own animals fresh and raw, and says that he has excellent health. Have you heard about this where people are just eating their meat raw? Hey, it might be healthier than the way that most Americans are eating their meat. But, oh, it's something. Even if it was going to make me absolutely shredded and live to 120, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't be eating raw meat.
Well, from my nutritional background, from what I read and seen, research articles stated that actually meat that's cooked – you actually absorb more of that protein, but it still falls in line with the notion that you don't really need that type of animal you don't need animal protein because it's high in methionine.
Too much animal protein causes cancer. I mean, it's pretty well established at this point.
And it's a sulfur amino acid, which isn't good. You want plant-based because plant-based doesn't have sulfur in it, which is, you know, acidic. So getting back on the notion, so the other thing too with the veganism is that you have a lot of energy because your body runs off of glucose. Your brain, your muscles run off of glucose. It doesn't run off of fat or, you know, high oils, all this stuff. And just even going off this notion, the one diet that I never tried and will not try, even if I was still eating meat, is the ketogenic diet, because when you understand the basis of it.
Yeah, please, let's get into this, because this is one thing that actually seems to have results. When people go on the ketogenic diet, they lose weight, and they might even feel all right after they get through that sickness feeling. But please inform people why this is not a good long-term choice for anybody and what it's actually doing.
There's many reasons why. I wish I could have got some articles and research on it.
This is, but, you know, Atkins and paleo, so people know. Ketogenic is the official term for it because your body is going into a state of ketosis.
Yep, and this is the main key aspect, is that when you go into ketosis, your body goes into an acidic pH, and cancer grows in acidic pH. Now, when you go plant-based, you become more alkaline, and cancer does not grow in alkaline. Now, yes, cancer does grow off of sugar, but it also – like the other thing too is when you're in an alkalinic state – or no, acidic state, you're in a high inflammation state because you're an acidic. You're not alkaline. So even if you're not getting cancer, you have inflammation, which – causes chronic illnesses and disorders over time. And then going off the notion that you're in ketoacidosis, your brain runs off of glucose, and the main aspect of going into ketosis is that your body produces ketones for your brain to use as energy. And see, you can't stay in ketoacidosis for, I think, over 7 days, 7 to 14 days. I forgot how long it is. I forgot the whole notion, because the thing is I don't focus on it. It's not something that I care about and will never do. So I forgot most of the stuff. But see, you have to eventually have some glucose back in your diet to get back in the notion to give your body some reset. And then, yes, people will jump back into the ketoacidosis, but it is not healthy for you in the long term, because you're eating high amounts of animal protein and fat, which animal protein causes more inflammation upon your digestional tract as well as your joints. There's something else too, I forgot. But just the whole aspect of it is not good. It's not what your body is made to run off, because you're lacking antioxidants, micronutrients from vegetables and fruits, because if you have over 15 grams of carbohydrates, it throws you out of the ketogenic state. So right there, it's like perfect for keeping you sick. Now, yes, you're going to lose weight, but it's not a healthy way to lose weight compared to eating your fruits and vegetables or going plant-based.
Yeah, if you get cancer, you'll lose weight as well. Does it mean it's good for you?
No. And like, this is the other thing too, that when you go vegan, one of the most important things that I can't stress enough is eating nuts and seeds, particularly seeds, raw organic seeds. That's where you get a lot of nutrients. And when you think about it, it's a seed. It's the beginning of life for that plant. So within that, you're getting a lot of nutrients and a lot of energy for your body. Because like, one thing that I eat a lot of is pumpkin seeds, chai seeds, flax seeds. These are very important seeds that are high in micronutrients.
Quick question, because you mentioned flax seeds. Soy, are you as terrified about, non-GMO soy as most people out there are?
Well,
because of the phytoestrogen level. That's the thing with the flax seeds. People say, stay away from those because, all the phytoestrogen, while they're sitting there chugging a glass of milk because it's a white power symbol, which is filled with tons of animal estrogen.
Yep. Keep them dumb. Keep the goyim dumb. We're going to give them something to trigger, but then they fall in line with our agenda or their agenda. So with the
did you switch back into your Jewish veganator, your greatest ally state there with our agenda?
I was going to.
Okay.
It's funny. It slips a lot. Yeah, I'm Jewish, guys, but no, I'm not Jewish.
Yeah, back to the phytoestrogens.
Soy. Well, first off, when it comes to soy, if you're eating a raw, whole-based, like, vegan diet lifestyle, because to be honest, you really should try to be striving as eating as much raw fruits and vegetables as possible. Now, even with me, the only thing I cook in my vegan diet is obviously the beans, the lentils, green peas, and broccoli, because I don't like broccoli raw. I like to actually steam it.
Yeah, I like steaming. I'd recommend steaming for people who are going to cook their vegetables. I think that's the best alternative. And don't steam it too much. You'll actually like the taste better when it's just lightly, heated up for a little while. I also want to just mention right here, when we're talking about soy, we should be specifying that it's soy in its more whole form, not when it's part of, say, a veggie burger, where it's the soy protein isolate. That stuff is... it's probably going to be better for you than meat, but it's not necessarily good for you.
Actually, yeah, it's not good for you. There's a lot of fillers and a lot of junk in it, because I actually came across some articles discussing about that, because I used to eat those Gaiden burgers and fake chickpea patties, and then all these articles came out exposing how it's filled with fillers and junk, like soy leftovers and stuff.
It could be a good stepping stone for some people who want to still have something that is familiar to them, but it's not ideal.
Yeah, it's high in oils too.
And there are many non-soy variations now that people look at, ones that are much, much better. And some ones that are... Well, actually, you can make your own veggie burger out of oats and some other things. And that's probably the best way to go about it.
Because that's what I was going to get at. The majority of people out there, they do not... If you follow a whole raw or just even not raw type of vegan diet, you're not really going to be eating soy. So you don't have to worry about soy. When you start eating processed foods, which is really not healthy for you, that's where you get your introduction of soy in your diet. And now going along with soy, the phytoestrogens, they don't react with your body like the sex hormones, such as in animal products, because the one thing with animal products is that they're injecting them with growth hormones, steroids, and even estrogens. And you're getting those hormones, which will react with your body more. And let's just say that the phytoestrogens react with your body. It's not going to be as aggressive as a hormone, because these hormones work. For example, look at bodybuilding. They use the same type of steroids that they're putting in the cows into humans, and the results work. Now, there's even promoted towards these bodybuilders soy protein. And there is a lot of bodybuilders out there that do take soy protein, especially with the vegans out there, but it doesn't give you gynecomastia or a stomach. And ironically, when you drink a lot of beer, that aromatizes your testosterone into estrogen. Yes. Hence why you get gynecomastia and that the fat around the midsection, because it's impacting your liver also.
I think it's just so important to mention that if people don't need to eat soy to go vegan.
No, you don't.
You're probably better off if you don't. And soy milk, it's one of many different varieties of nut milks that's out there. And there are so many better alternatives. Oat milk, hemp milk. You could do it yourself. I don't even like almond milk. Coconut milk's a good one. There's so many different things out there that are so much better than both soy milk and especially cow's milk, which is just not good. You're not supposed to be drinking milk as an adult, but especially not the milk of an animal that's supposed to be creating this quickly growing massive cow. It's wrong in so many levels. But hey, we are running out of time, so I'd like to let you promote your YouTube channel and give your final thoughts here for us.
All right, so my YouTube channel is Veganator, V-E-Gain as in muscles, Ator, like Terminator. You can check out my channel. I used to promote a lot of veganism, bodybuilding aspect, but then, and the MGTOW aspect, but then I realized that there's something that we really need to start focusing on, and that's the Jewish agenda, white genocide thing. So I pretty much just been going as hard as I can, really making some triggering videos, really going against the grain, especially my ones going against veterans, troops, this whole patriotism, because people are blinded to the reality as to what's going on in our society, because they're given this notion that, oh, it's unpatriotic to stand up against the Zionist government and how they're fighting these wars in the Middle East for the greater Israel. And so pretty much, you can't hold back anymore. Like, there's no future for us if we just sit by and do nothing. Our homelands are being invaded, and you want to sit there and just be like, no, I can't speak up or do anything because I might lose my job. We're losing our jobs left and right, especially with AI coming into the whole system, and they're promoting that, oh, AI is going to take over, like, the drive, or, you know, the semi-trucks, which is going to be a huge impact.
We have run out of time. I really want to thank you for joining me for these 2 hours. Interesting conversation. We could have gone for a few more, I am sure. So we'll talk again soon. Take care and have a good night.
All right. Thank you, Kyle. All right, guys. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much to all the listeners. Take care. Be back soon.
Woods is ruled by the global elite. What happened to the individual? What happened to working class white? The fed is head with so much propaganda.
We are taught almost nothing about South Africa in Western schools, other than that there was an evil apartheid government of white racists who oppressed everyone until the great Saint Nelson Mandela came along. Now you can learn the real history of exploration, conflict, concentration camps for the Boers, Jewish-funded black terrorism, Winnie Mandela and her necklacing, rampant murder and rape under the ANC, the so-called squatter camps, how the Rainbow Nation is a blueprint for what's to come for whites worldwide, and so much more. Between Heaven and Hell, the true story of whites in South Africa by Sinead McCarthy, free to watch at whitesouthafrica.com.
Scattered as dead leaves upon the ground. In the course of the freedom they had tasted, and for the liberty they found, ground beneath the heels of red jack boots. One half of Europe ruled by the red beast, was the other half for food, thinking they were free. Was the alien power rule that every